Hi, boys and girls. Welcome to the Children's Bible Club. By now, you recognize our theme song. Perhaps you've learned the words and can sing along. Glory, hallelujah, Christ has set me free. A new life now I see. My sins are all forgiven. I'm on my way to heaven to dwell eternally. Glory, hallelujah, he's coming soon for me. What a joyous message. And that's what our Bible Club meeting is all about.
And now, join the choir as they start the broadcast under the direction of Mr. Howard Woods.
Question, kids. What's the difference between a frisbee and a boomerang? Well, one thing is a frisbee is a flat circular disc that you sling into the air and it sails away a long distance and your dog or a friend picks it up at the other end, while a boomerang is a bent or angular flat wooden piece that you sling into the air. And if you do it right, it'll sail away beautifully and then come back to you. How nice not to have to chase after it. Boomerangs were used in the Down Under continent of Australia for useful purposes. But sometimes our words can boomerang too. Angry or hurtful words or untrue tales or words spoken without thinking can do terrible damage among family, loved ones, or friends. They bring heartache or anger to the person about whom they were spoken, and then they often come back on the person who spoke them. We say they backfired. An angry or gossipy word spoken without thought can wreak havoc and hurt people. Think of it this way. It's better to be a bee that gathers honey than a wasp that carries a sting. We must guard our lip gate. James 3:6 says, "The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity." A lighted match, carelessly dropped by a passerby, can burn down a farmer's haystack or start a fire that burns down someone's house. Afterwards, the careless person may apologize. "Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to burn down your house." Well, that may be so, but the damage is done, and it can't be undone. So, Bible Clubbers, let's be careful. Let's think before we speak. Three questions to consider before you speak. Is it kind? Will anyone be hurt by what you're going to say? Is it true? Is what you're going to say the truth? Is it necessary? Would it be better left unspoken? Sometimes we say more than we should. In Psalm 141, David prayed, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." Let's show kindness, boys and girls. Let's ask the Lord to help us, as Isaiah said, "Know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary." And now, choir. Thank you.
Dad's voice fell like lightning on Billy's ears. Billy froze in his tracks. He was surely in an awkward place on the rocky creek bank, but he froze at his father's command. A shot rang out right past his ears, and before him fell limp a big rattlesnake that had been ready to strike. It was a horrible sight, but Billy thought the dead rattlesnake was better than a live one. It was a good thing he'd obeyed his dad's command. What gave boys and girls such a dread and fear of snakes? What makes us want to run from them? It all started long ago when the devil entered the serpent's body and beguiled Eve to disobey God. Adam also yielded to his temptation and disobeyed God. And from there on, the world and all inside it came crashing down. Beauty turned to ugliness, innocence to guilt, joy to sorrow, honor to shame, and confidence to fear. The world would never be the same again, all because of disobedience to God. What a heartbreak it must have been to God, who made Adam and Eve in his own image. After all God had given them, after his blessing them with his presence and fellowship, they chose to talk and to listen to God's enemy, the devil. They chose to scorn God's word. They chose to disobey his clear command. God had plainly said, "In the day you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die." Little did they realize the depths of the consequences of that penalty. Nothing escaped the judgment of God for the sin of disobedience that day. The serpent was condemned to crawl on the ground through the dust and dirt and be feared instead of admired. The woman would always be under rule of her husband and suffer great pain when her children were born. The man, instead of enjoying keeping the garden, would now have to fight thorns and thistles and weeds and poor soil and drought to grow food for his family. He'd sweat and toil to earn a living. The ground was cursed. The animals were cursed, too. They couldn't live together peaceably any longer. Eagles now wanted to kill rabbits. Wolves wanted to kill lambs. Dogs wanted to chase cats. Cats wanted to catch mice. All down the line, nothing was safe any longer, all because of sin. Then God pronounced the final blow upon man. "Remember, the day you eat of that tree, you will surely die." God reminded Adam of that promised penalty. Adam would have to toil and sorrow all the days of his life, and the seed of death that entered his body when he sinned would at last cause him to die, and his body would go back to the dust from which he was made. From his favored place with God, man fell to death and despair. In spite of all their disobedience and pride, God was so loving and merciful that he killed lambs, took their skins, and made clothes for Adam and Eve. God, in his wonderful wisdom, knew it wouldn't do to let Adam and Eve remain in the Garden of Eden with their new knowledge of good and evil. They might partake of the tree of life and live forever in their sinful condition. So he forced them to leave the garden and set cherubims and a flaming sword which turned round and round to keep them from ever going back. What a sad story! What a dark picture! Is there no hope? Is there no life or joy possible anymore? Oh, I'm so glad to be able to tell you that God didn't end the story there. For in his deadly sentence upon the serpent, God hung the light of hope and salvation. He promised that the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, would come some day, and that he would defeat and be victor over the wicked devil. Just as the lambs had to be killed and their blood shed to make a covering for Adam and Eve, Jesus Christ shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary to make a covering for your sin. He died to pay the penalty for Adam's sin, for your sin, and for all the sins of the world. He didn't die for his own sin because he was sinless and perfect. He took on himself our sin so we could be forgiven, saved, and in fellowship with God. What a blessed Savior! How grateful we should be for his sacrifice! How quickly we should turn to him in repentance and faith! For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Trust him today, boys and girls. Don't scorn his love or his word as Adam and Eve did. Receive him by faith. And now, God bless you, and be sure to be listening next week at this same time.
You have been listening to the Children's Bible Club, a ministry of Grace Bible Church and Santa Rosa Christian School in Milton, Florida. If the stories and songs have been a blessing to you, why not write and let Aunt Carolyn know? When you write, be sure to mention the call letters of this good radio station. Send your letter to Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. When you write, ask for a free brochure of all the Aunt Carolyn stories, as well as other good Christian books and materials for children and adults. That address again is Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. You may also visit our website, childrensbibleclub.com. Keep listening and tell a friend about the broadcast so they can listen too. Now, I'm Adam Watt saying God bless you until next week at the same time.